Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 39 for our scripture reading tonight. We'll read all of Psalm 39, and our focus will be specifically in verses 4 through 7. This is God's word. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days as a mere handbreadth. The spans of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blows of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping. For I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again, before I depart, and am no more. And this, Father, reading of God's holy and infallible word, you'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we listen and hear what God has to say to us from these words. Year endings. Wonderful times to reflect. In the busyness of the life that so often just overwhelm us, it is wonderful to find moments in which we can pause to reflect, to ask ourselves those questions which are of immense importance. What do I live for? What is my life bearing out moment by moment, testifying to what is most important to me? What do I keep myself busy with every day? What does it amount to? You see, as we reflect on these things, we get perspective on life. Important. If we don't take the time to reflect upon life and ask ourselves these questions, God will sometimes force us to do that. That's what happens here with David. He finds himself in a situation, afflicted, and did you hear what he says there? Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blows from your hand. God is bringing David low so that he can reflect upon life. As he begins the psalm, he says, I will be silent, I will not speak in the presence of my enemy. I will not reflect upon what God is doing in such a way that I criticize him. And that silence at the scorching of God drives him to the prayer, which is a prayer for God to help him to assess and measure his life accurately. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. David is asking God to understand precisely the reality of who he is and what his life amounts to. And did you hear what he's saying? His life is but fleeting. Momentary. A mere breath. Each man's life is but a breath. A moment. Do you realize that about your life? Has it sunk into your heart that you are here only for a moment? Now, why is this important? Why does David want to know this? So that he can assess life accurately. Let's reflect upon that for a moment. There are basically two perspectives to life. The one is that this life is all that exists. It's all that is. Let's call this the temporal approach to life. The other approach is the eternal approach to life. That knows that this life is but preparation for all eternity. That this life is not what true life is all about, but a momentary preparation, a pilgrimage for the life that is to come. And we have to wrestle with these two approaches, because the temporal approach is the approach that overwhelms us. It's the approach which confronts us and imprisons itself upon our hearts immediately. It's where we live. And it's so easy to get caught up in this momentary passing life, as though this life is all that exists and all that is. Now, the way in which this temporal perspective comes into our lives differ for each of us, because we're each kind of geared a little differently. And so we may experience this temptation a little differently. David gives us at least one example of a kind of life that is based upon temporal values and how fleeting or vain, useless it truly is. Notice what he says in verse 6. For man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. You see, there are some that live, and they live only for acquiring wealth. Their whole life is geared towards getting more and more. And this takes on different forms. Some acquire this, but they are very stingy. You will never say they have a lot of money because they never spend any of their money, because they find their security in their money. Others, they don't mind to flaunt the wealth that they have acquired. You can see it where they live, what they drive. But do you hear what David says? That kind of pursuit in life amounts to where it will lead. Someone else will spend the money. Someone else will get all that you have amassed all your life. And as the writer or the preacher in Ecclesiastes tells us, we're not exactly sure whether he will be wise or a fool. Imagine that! A fool has all of your money and he will spend it in his way. What does it lead to? Vanity. Nothingness. It's an empty way of life. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe your thing is to make a success of your life. To really excel. To really be really good in what you're doing. There are many that pursue that, that wants to make something of themselves. Here is one of the most successful, maybe not often quoted in church, pop legend, Madonna. Hear what she says. I have an iron will, and all of my life has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I push past one spell of it and discover myself a special human being. And then I get another stage and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting. Again and again, my drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that is always pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. It never does. If you seek success in life and measure your value and your worth and the value of life by success, you'll never reach it. It will always elude you. Or maybe it's beauty. There are many today who live for beauty. They spend a lot of money to make themselves beautiful, to wear beautiful things, to make sure that they are outwardly fine. But you know how it is. We all grow old, and that fades. The beauty is never lasting. It won't last. Now we can go on and on and talk about various ways, but you get the point. It's vanity. To live for the moment and make what we do here ultimate in all of life leads to nothingness. What would you think of a man who decides to move? Let's say he moves from Dallas to Atlanta. He's going to spend the rest of his life there, maybe 50 years or more. And he likes to plan in particular detail everything about his trip, the 2 days he's going to move from Atlanta or from Dallas to Atlanta. He decides beforehand what he's going to wear, where he's going to stop, even where he's going to eat, what he's going to eat, exactly what he's going to do in the next 2 days he travels. But he does not plan at all what he's going to do when he gets to Atlanta. You would call him a fool, won't you? That's what it's like for those who live for the moment. And as Christians, we ourselves can get caught up in merely living for now. So how do you break out of that? David helps us. Notice verse 7, because that's where we need to begin. But now, Lord, what do I do? What do I look for? My hope is in you. That's the anchor that my hope, my confidence, my expectation is rooted in God. You remember how Psalm 90 begins? Reminding us that God is forever, from eternity to eternity. That when our confidence is in Him, we have in Him that which takes us beyond the moment. It's only when our hope is anchored in Him that we have the security that will take us out of this world and the momentary experience and lead us into eternity. And for New Testament believers, we understand that the you there finds its focus in Jesus Christ. David wrestles with his sin. And he understands that God and God alone can remove his sin. And we know He has in Jesus Christ. And when our hearts are anchored in Him and our hope is anchored in Christ, we have one who is able to anchor our lives in that which makes eternal difference. So let me ask you, is your hope in Christ tonight? Can you say what David say here and mean it? That your eyes are focused upon Christ and you look to Him because He and He alone is your hope? That you have no hope outside of Him. You dare not look outside of Christ, not to wealth, not to work, not to beauty, not to pleasure, not to fame, not anywhere but Christ. Is that your focus? Now, notice what David wants to bring him to understand more clearly this hope that he has in God. He begins his prayer in verse 4, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." It's a strange request. He's saying, let me understand that I am mortal. That I am not going to live forever. And let me understand that it's not merely that I'm mortal, but my mortality is but a moment. It's fleeting. And do you notice how he heaps up, as it were, one way after another to express this idea that our life is short, brief? My life's end, the number of my days, how fleeting my life is. Verse 5, for you've made my days as a mere handbreadth. My life is 3 inches long. Is that how you view your life? On a timeline, 3 inches, a handbreadth. That's all it is. And the span of my life is as nothing. Each man's life is but a breath. How many times have you breathed since you've walked into this building? But a moment. a breath. That's your life. Man is a mere phantom. Now, why does he do this? Why does he heap these things all together and bring it home? Because he understands that it's only when he grasps that in the very fiber of his being that he will understand God to be his anchor and approach life in that way. Now you see, the point tonight is not to discourage you, but to encourage you. Because you see, one moment we understand how fleeting our life is, it's the moment we begin to understand that we need to spend our time on that which matters most eternally. You see, the moment we can grasp how quick our time here on earth goes, we can begin to think and assess, what is it that takes up most of our time? So let me ask you, where are the areas in your life where you need to improve? You see, the time we spend in God's Word and prayer is not additions. It's not the kind of thing that you do when you have extra time during the day. You know how that goes, don't you? There's never extra time to spend in God's Word unless you make it a priority. And why would you make it a priority? Because that matters eternally. The 10 minutes sleep you get extra every day does not ultimately matter eternally, does it? Now maybe it's not sleep that you need to cut out. Maybe it's something else in your life. 10 minutes of TV? Maybe more than 10 minutes are needed in your life. Is your time in God's presence a priority in your life? Our time is too brief not to prioritize time with God. Is holiness and pursuit of holiness a high priority in your life? Conformity to Jesus Christ? Is progress in your love and commitment to Christ something you measure and pursue diligently in your life? Do you make it a priority? Or do you think it's just going to happen? That you just will be sanctified? It doesn't just happen. It's a pursuit. Do you prioritize? Measure, think of ways in which you need to grow, areas in your life that needs deliberate attention. Are you deliberate in your Christian life? What about your family life? What matters need attention in your home? Communication between husband and wife. If our marriages are to be an example before the world of the relationship between Christ and His bride, then working on our relationship is not an option. It's imperative. What about your children? Are you deliberately seeking to show them the glory of Jesus Christ? Are you deliberately making their spiritual walk a priority in your life? It's not going to come automatically. It's not just going to be happening because you send them to Christian school and because they receive Sunday school and catechism here. That's not enough. If everything you do at home contradicts what they hear, they will walk away. Your responsibility as father and mother is essential. Is it a priority for you? Life is too short and your time with your children too short not to make it a priority. What about your relationship with others? Think about it. What are the things that irritate you in the worst of your relationships? The grudges you carry around in your heart against other people. Is it worth the time and energy when you compare it and measure it in light of eternity? Is it time for you to repent and to be reconciled with your brother as Christ commands? Because one day you will be together. Because that's what matters. I was reminded in reading something this past year. And I've said it a few times, but the thought still stuns me. We're prone to say that you can take nothing to heaven. And that's true, nothing physical. But our relationships, the people, come with us. And so this is the question. Are you investing in those relationships in such a way that they will carry over with you into eternity? You're not going to be alone in heaven. There's going to be people there. I hope that's not news to anyone. And those relationships matter. So let me ask you, are you investing in relationships in such a way that they carry over into eternity? You know those conversations we're afraid to have with unbelievers? When we ask ourselves, why are we silent if we are but here for a moment and gone tomorrow? What does it matter what they think of us? What does it matter whether they think we're really crazy? Really a little loopy? Eternal in light of eternity, what does it matter? Now, these are mere illustrations. Your task is to meditate and to think what it is that God wants you to work and prioritize in your life. What do you need to work on? We're here but a moment, and then we're gone. Not gone forever, but gone into God's eternity. What an amazing thought. Amen. Lord, we can hardly begin to comprehend the eternal glory that we will share with you. We know what we have in this life. We know what this life feels like. And we can fast tonight. We are far too comfortable with this world. We're far too settled in. We're far too taken up with the things of this world. And so we ask that you would teach us to number our days, that you would teach us how fleeting our life truly is, that we may grasp it, so that we may see what matters eternally. Be with those, O Lord, who go through life and come to the realization that it is all empty and vain. Will you lead them to yourself that they may discover in you purpose and riches? Riches that is not of earthly value, but of eternal value. Anchor our hearts in Christ. And may we, O Lord, as your people, live with eternal values in our home, in our relationships with one another, as a church, in the conversations we have with unbelievers. May it be evident that we are yours, and we look forward to that future which we will share with you for all eternity. To that end, will you bless your word to our hearts tonight? In Jesus' name. Amen.